Today's daf is Yevamos Daf Beis, and we are Be'ezus Hashem in the beginning of a new Mesechta, a new Seder Noshim, Mesechtas Yevamos. Today's daf is being learned in honor of my son, Dov Ber, my son Dovi's Bar Mitzvah. May he be zoiche to grow up and to continue to give his parents and his grandparents and the ganze mishpacha asach yiddish anachas. So, Mesechtas Yevamos very much requires an introduction. So, Be'ezus Hashem, just to introduce the basics of what exactly Yibum is. And as we go through the Mesechta, we'll introduce the necessary sugyas and get into some of the lumbas. So Mesechtas Yevamos is a long, hard Mesechta, but it's based on six psukim in the Torah. The psukim are tucked away, they're in the end of Parshas Kiseitze. It says, Ki yesh v'achim yachtov, if there are going to be two brothers that were living together, umeis achad mehem, one of them died, he was married, uvein einloi, and he left over no children. Says the Torah, although his wife is an almana, and typically an almana is allowed to marry anybody that she wants, in this case, loisia eshes hameis hachutzal leishzar. This woman, this almana, is not allowed to just go marry any strange person. Rather, yivama yavoy aleha, ulekacha loy liisha v'yibma. The brother that's alive, he has a mitzvah to do yibum. He has a mitzvah to marry this woman. Says the pasuk, "Vayet b'charasha teled yakim al shem achiv ames v'lo yimach yishmoyim b'yisrael." The tachlis of the brother that's alive marrying this almana is for him to have a child through this almana, so that the brother that died, although he died without children, will have a hemshach. Even though he himself will have not left any children, but through the yibum, he will have a hemshach. Says the pasuk, what happens if the yavam, if this brother that's alive says, you know, I'm not interested, I understand there's a mitzvah, but it's not something I want to do. You can't force me to marry someone I don't want to marry. Says the pasuk, there's a plan B. The woman, the yavama, the amana, should go to Beis Din, the amra, and she should say, quote, "May ein yavami lahakim laachiv shem biyisrael loyava yabmi." My yavam has a mitzvah to marry me. He has a mitzvah to make sure that my late husband is going to have a hemshach. Stating that this is not something he wants to do. Loyava yabmi. The kara loyzikne iray. The elders of the city, meaning the Sanhedrin, should call the yavam. The dibru elav. They're going to talk to him. Va'amar. And if in fact the case is exactly like she said, that he doesn't want to do yibum, he should say it. The next thing that happens is that the Yavam then comes in front of the Yavam, and it's all done in the presence of the Bezin. She does something very interesting. She takes his shoe off, the yarka b'fanav, then she spits in front of him. V'ansa, she declares, v'amra, and she says, kacha yeyase lo ish. This is what's meant to be done to a person who refused to take the opportunity and to perpetuate the memory of his late brother. The Nikra Shmoy be Yisrael, and then he is going to be called a Beis Chalutzanal, a house of somebody that did Chalitza. So these six psukim in the Torah are the Torah Shebiksav of what we know as Mesechtas Yevamos. So again, in short, it's a very easy summary. There were two brothers. One of them was married, he died, he left over no children. The Torah says, the brother that's alive has a mitzvah saseh da'iraisa to do yibum, which means he has a mitzvah to go and to marry the eshes hameis, to marry the almana. What happens if he doesn't want to do it? We don't force him to. There is a plan B, and that is chalitza. It's supposed to happen in the presence of Beis Din. He has to be wearing a shoe. She removes the shoe from his foot. She spits in front of him. She declares a little bit of a Megillah vibe. Kacha yeyase lo ish, asher lo yivneh es beis achiv. The mitzvah of chalitza. It's interesting that the mitzvah of Yibum, although it's of course one of the Taryag mitzvahs, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, but it's something that we find already in the Torah before Matan Torah. In Parshas Vayeshev, so Yehuda had three sons. The pasuk said he had a son, Er, he had a son, Oinon, and he had a son, Shelah. Now Yehuda's oldest son, Er, got married to Tamar. Yehuda died, Er died, and left over no children. And because he left over no children, so Yehuda went to his son, Oinon, and said, "Boy el eshes achicha, go marry Tamar," meaning marry your brother's almana, viyabe moisa, the Torah actually uses the word yibum, v'hakim zera l'achicha. So like this, there's going to be a little bit of a hemshach. The pasuk says that oimam, for whatever reason, refused to be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum. The next son that Yehuda had, Shelah, was a little child at the time. So Tamar had lost her husband, Er. Oinon refused to do Yibum. Shelah was too young, so Tamar ends up going home. Time passes, and Tamar realized that here she's technically a woman that is subject to Yibum. Her husband had died, left over no children. She's what we know as a Yevama, and nobody wanted to do Yibum. So she came up with an idea. Her idea was that she was going to pose as a Zoyna. She was going to somehow get Yehuda, her father-in-law, to be Mizana with her, engage in Bia. In Yehuda's mind, it was going to be a Bias Nus. In her mind, it was going to be an act of Yibum. The Kachava, and the rest is history. But it's Mavur in the Torah that there was a Yibum that took place. This Yibum took place before Matan Torah. It took place between Yehuda and Tamar. That's a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. The Ramban, in his Pirush al HaTorah, on that pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev, says that you see that even though the Torah hadn't been given at that time, still there was an idea people were observing Yibum. And must be that the Kadmoinim, the people, understood that there must be some tachlis, some tayelis in doing Yibum. Meaning, Pashut, we think of Yibum as a mitzvah in the Torah. Just like tefillin is a mitzvah in the Torah, sitting in a sukkah is a mitzvah in the Torah, doing the mitzvah of Yibum is a mitzvah in the Torah. But the Ramban says that from the fact that you find that this was something that was being observed even in the Matan Torah, must be that there was something that people understood, that there was some soy, there was some tayelis, some tachlis from doing Yibum. So says the Ramban, quote, Avalo'in, he says the truth is there is a side. And if somebody would understand the effect that one has through doing Yibum, he would realize that it's from the Soidas HaTorah. It's something that's obvious to people that are able to see. And the Kadmoinim, they were people that actually understood this. Now, what exactly the soid is, the Ramban doesn't say. So you can go through from the beginning to the end. The Ramban's not going to be megala what the soid is. But all the Mefarshim on the Ramban say that although the Ramban here didn't express what the soid is, but the Ramban in his Pirush on Iyuv talks a little bit about the soid of Iyuv, the soid of Yibum, and over there the Ramban says it's related to Gilgul Neshamas. That's what it's related to. So this man died, he left over no children, he doesn't have a hemshach. If his brother would go and marry the Yavama and have a child, the thought would be that that child is a Gilgul of the deceased brother. And there's a soid gadol in this. And that's something that the Kadmoinim understood. They were privy to the concept of Gilgulin. They knew this even Koyda Matan Torah. And that's why Yehuda's already telling his son to go ahead and do Yibum. And this is why Tamar wants Yibum. Because there's an understanding that Yibum is something that has a Toyeles simply because of the fact that it allows the neshama of the deceased to be reincarnate, to come back to this world. Now, one of the things you see from the Yibum of Yehuda and Tamar is that Yibum doesn't necessarily have to be with a brother marrying his brother's wife. Because the Yibum that took place with Yehuda and Tamar was with a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. And the Ramban says that the emes is, that's the way it is. As far as the soid gadol misoidas ha-Torah b'toiledes ha-Adam of Yibum is, it's not exclusive dafka to two brothers, it's not exclusive to a brother and his brother's wife. But really, with all kroivim, one would be able to be mekayim this inyan of Gilgulim. So he says, if that's the case, so why is it that in the Torah it's kiyesh v'achim yachdom? How come the only yibum you find is together with brothers? So says the Ramban, the reason is because really for somebody to marry one of his relatives is a problem. Were it not for the mitzvah of yibum, then he'd violate one of the isuri arayas. No, the Torah was matter, as we're going to see soon in the introduction, the isur of marrying your brother's wife, the isur reishasach for a tayelas. But the Torah didn't want to be matter all the arayas. So what the Torah did was, it was only matter one. Which one? Eshesach, brother's wife. Why brother's wife? So the Ramban says, because that's the one that was always the most shriach, and that's the one that's able to accomplish the greatest tayelah. So this is way above our pay grade. But that's what the Ramban says. That really, if you understand the concept, the soid of what Yibum is, it's not exclusive to kiyesh v'ma'achim yachdom. But really, anytime a man dies without children, if one of the relatives would go and be miyabim this amana, on some level, that person would be able to fulfill what the tachlis of Yibum is. It's more manifest with regards to two brothers and the brother marrying the brother's wife. And it's for that reason, that's ultimately the way the Torah presented it. But says the Ramban something very interesting. He says that being that the Toyeles of Yibum is not exclusive to a brother and his brother's wife, but rather it's something that could be accomplished with all Kroivim, it would make sense then that if a man dies, leaves over no children, and for whatever reason, it's not shayach for there to be a brother to do Yibum, maybe he didn't have a brother, then at the very least, another relative should come in that person's place and should do the proverbial Yibum. Now, it's not going to be Yibum, because at the end of the day, the way the Torah presented the mitzvah of Yibum is with an Eish Asach, and it's Ki Yesh V'achem Yachtav. But once you understand the time of the crow, once you understand the Toyelos of what Yibum is, so even though you can't fulfill the mitzvah's Yibum in the proper way, but on some level you can, and that is something that would be appropriate, and that's something that would be encouraged. Now, it would have to be a situation where the Miyabim, who's marrying his relative, is not violating one of the Yisuri Arayas. But as long as it's possible to do in a way where you're not violating any of the Yisuri Arayas, it's something that would be very, very much encouraged to do. And then the Ramban says, in fact, there's a precedent for this. There is one place in Tanakh where you find that there were relatives that actually did something that wasn't Yibum, but it resembled Yibum, and it's for this reason. And that is Boaz and Rus. We know that Rus, her husband died during the hunger, there were no children, and technically Rus was looking for a relative to come and to marry her. There was no brother to go ahead and do Yibum. Rus, who was Boaz, who was a distant relative, he was also the Gadol Hadar, he was the Shoifet, he went and he married Rus. Now, if you go through the Psukim in Rus, the Pasuk describes the marriage between Boaz and Rus, not as Yibum, but rather it describes it as Geula. And the Ramban says that that word Geula is a word that's used in the event that there is the Toyelis of Yibum that's happening, but it's not a real Yibum. Meaning when it's a real Yibum, it's Kiyesh V'yachim Yachtov. So in that case, we know it as Yibum, where it's not Yibum, but there is a relative who's allowed to marry this Amana that's going to marry her. That's not what we would know as Yibum, but what it would be known as Geula. Bottom line is we have two places in the Torah Shabbat Ksav where you find that there was some form of Yibum. We have Yehuda and Tamar, we have Boaz and Rus. Ironically and interestingly, both of them were not your classic Yibum. Yehuda and Tamar was a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law, which Kedem Matan Torah was okay, but that's the form of the Yibum that it was. As far as Boaz and Rus, it's not even what we would refer as Yibum, but it's what the Ramban says is known in Tanakh and in the Torah Shebaal Peh as Geula. So what exactly is Yibum? What is the mitzvah of Yibum? So it's a pasuk in the Torah. It's pretty straightforward. It says in the Torah, Yevama yavoy aleha ulekacha loy leisha v'yibma. There's a mitzvah for the yavam, that's the brother that's alive, to marry the yavama. That's the almana. Meaning there's a mitzvah to go ahead and to create an ishus so that the yavam and the yavama, they're going to be the new couple. They're the ones that are going to build now a bayis nema v'yisrael. They're the ones that are going to be married. Now, it's important to know, and every single item of the introduction is really critical because it's something that's going to chazer itself over again and again and again. That is, we're familiar with the basic concept of Ishus. The man wants to get married to Das Moshe V'Yisrael. So what does he do? So the first Mishnah Masechtas Kedushin, Ho'isha Niknes B'Shalosh Drachim B'Kesef Shtar U'Bia. So either Kesef or Shavu Kesef, Shtar, or with a Bia. If somebody goes to a woman with Edom and says, Harei at Mikudeshes Li B'Kesef Shtar U'Bia, the halach is, they're now Mikudeshes. What does it mean, Mikudeshes? They're married, but they're not married 100%. They're in what's known as a state of Kedushin, or in what's known as a state of Erisin. In order for the marriage to be completed 100%, they have to do something else. They have to do what's known as Nisuin. How do you do Nisuin? The short answer is chuppah, right? Different minhagim, which is yichadrum, etc. But the bottom line is that marriage happens in two stages. It happens in two shlavim. The first shlav is kedushin slash erisin. Those are synonyms of the same thing. The second shlav is nesuin. As far as kedushin goes, there's three options. It could be done by kesef, it could be done by shtar, it could be done by bia. As far as nesuin goes, that's what we know as chuppah. Yibum is also an ishos. The end result of yibum is going to get this couple to where a couple is after they have Kiddushin v'Nesu'in. But there's one way to do Yibum, Bia. And that one Maisa Bia creates everything. It's the Kiddushin, it's the Nesu'in, it's the only way for this Ishus to take place. And when that Maisa Bia takes place, it creates the maximum amount of ishus. There's nothing else that needs to be done afterwards. So that's a tremendous anomaly in the world of creating ishus that you find in Yibum, that you don't find in a traditional Kedushin, because over here, the only way for a person to be Mekayim and the mitzvah of Yibum, and the only way for a person to go ahead and create this ishus is through a Maisa Biyah. The truth is, the Lomdim Kler, and this is something we'll get to, what is the mitzvah of Yibum? Is the mitzvah the Maisa Biyah? Or is the mitzvah creating the ishus? Meaning, is the mitzvah the Maisa Biyah? Grada, you date the Maisa Biyah, so kumtan ishus. Or is the mitzvah the ishus? Grada, the way you're creating the ishus is through a Maisa Biyah. But at the end of the day, they're inextricable. It's one way to create this ishus. The mitzvah of Biyah, of Yibum, is a mitzvah's Biyah. It's mefurish in the Torah. Yavama yava yaleh ulekacha leile isha v'yivma. Which means, just to put this b'milim achem, because it's so important. What would be if the Yavam goes over to the Yavama, he gives her a diamond ring and says, Harei amikudash asli b'tabah zukadas moshe v'yisrof. Nothing. Gunished. Nothing would happen. Because the Yibum needs to happen through Biyah, and if it's going to be done through a regular, ordinary Maisa Kedushin, it's going to have absolutely no kayach to be able to pile anything. Stating that, the Rabbanan came along, and the Rabbanan said that it's not appropriate for a Yavam and a Yavama that literally the first time that they're engaging in any form of relationship, it should be Yavama Yava Yaleh Ulekachalei Leisha V'Yibum. So the Rabbanan said that we're going to be misakin that the way the ishus of Yibum should play out is the same exact way that an ordinary ishus plays out. And that is that before the Yavam is Mekayim, his mitzvah d'iraisa of Yavama Yava Yaleh ulekacha lo le'isha v'yibma, first he should be Mekadesh, this woman, as if he was being Mekadesh any isha penuya, meaning other bekesef, other b'shtar. So, mid'iraisa, it's meaningless. However, the Rabbanan felt that that's more appropriate. And the Rabbanan said that before the Yibum, there should be Harei HaMikudesh HaSli B'Tabah Zugadas Moshe V'Yisrael. Other B'Kesef, other B'Shtar. If, when the Yavam does that, meaning he gives the Yavam a Kesef, or he gives the Yavam a Shtar, it's what's known as a Maimer. Maimer is a Maisa Kedushin that's done between Yavam and Yavam. Maimer is nothing Midai Raisa, but Maimer is very, very much Midai Rabbanan. But the point is that it's only midrabbanan that there's something called maimer, because really, on a dairaisa level, the only way to create the ishus is through biyah, and it's really the only thing that's necessary, because once the biyah takes place at that point, anything else is going to be superfluous, because the ganzi ishus is going to take place through the biyah. Now, the ikar parasha of Yibum is a parasha of mitzvah saseh. Yavama yava yaleh ulekacha leil isha v'yibma. It's one of the tariq mitzvahs. It's a mitzvah saseh. But there's also a loy saseh in the parasha of Yibum. And that is, it says in the Torah, again, ki esh v'achim yachtov umeis echad mehem uvein ein loy. So one of the brothers dies, he left over no children. It says the Torah olav, loy siya esh es ameis achutza le'ishzar. This almana, although she's an almana, and usually an almana is a woman that's allowed to marry anybody that she wants, but this almana is not allowed to. Loy siya esh es ameis achutza le'ishzar. She's not allowed to just go ahead and marry anybody that she wants. What's the pshat? What's the reason that this almana is not allowed to marry anyone that she wants? So pashat pshat is because the yavam has a mitzvah, and if she's going to go marry somebody else, she's going to accept a kedushin, so she's going to be infringing on the ability of the yavam to be mekayim his mitzvah, and that's not something. That's okay if the yavam has a mitzvah, so she at the very least has to make herself available, so like this, he'll be able to do the mitzvah that's incumbent upon him to do. But the truth is, the isra loisiyah isha sameis achutz alishzar is a little bit deeper than that. And it goes to the gut, it goes to the core, again, of understanding Pashit Yevamis 101. That is, we're all familiar with the term Zika. Zika is synonymous with Yevamis. So what exactly is Zika? Zika is a bond. In the context of Yevamis, it's a Ishus Diga bond. And it's Mavur in all the sugyas that when there are two brothers, one of them dies and he leaves over no children. The Almana is on some level bound to the Yavam. Meaning, before the Yavam ever did Biyah, before he even did Maimer Midrabanan, the etzim fact that there's a mitzvah of Yavama Yava Yaleh, that creates a Zika. It creates a bond, it creates an energy, it creates a connection, it creates some diluted form of Ishus that's going to exist between the Yavam and the Yavama. The truth is that One of the big sugis in Masechtas Yevamos is the sugi of Zika. And when you learn the sugi of Zika, so we'll see, it's a machlokes. Yesh Zika or ain't Zika? And there were those that held yesh Zika, there were those that held that ain't Zika. But it's very, very misleading, because it sounds like there's actually a machlokes whether there's Zika or not. There's no machlokes whether there's Zika. Even the mandama that holds ain't Zika holds their Zika. What's the shayla yesh Zika, ain't Zika? The shayla is qualitatively in Echos. How far are we supposed to take this Zika? How much are we supposed to view it and reckon with it as an Ishus in terms of starting to apply all the different halachas related to Ishus? But you want to know if there's Zika? There's Zika. There's an energy, there's some sort of bond, there's an Ishus that exists between the Yavam and the Yavama just by virtue of the fact that kiyesh fu achim yachtav umeis achan mehem uvein eimla. Just by that in of itself, that Misa creates a Zika. It's because of that Zika that it says in the Torah, the reason this woman is not allowed to get married is because she's married. Now, she's not mamish married, but on some level, she's married. There's a Zika. And because there's a Zika, she's zokuk to the Yavam, so she doesn't have a garech. She doesn't have a bailus to just go ahead and decide that, yes, she just wants to marry somebody. Because on some level, she's bound to the Yavam. So the idea of Zika is very, very integral to understanding Yavamis. And literally, the first pasuk, Loisiyah Eshes Ameis Achutzel Lirzar, this is something that's very much predicated on the concept of Zika. So what happens if the Yavam says, I don't want to do Yibam? So it's not a good thing. It's mashma from the psukim in the Torah that we embarrass him and we do it publicly. And they used to refer to him as a beis chalutz anal. So without knowing exactly what this all means, it certainly seems to read in a very, very derogatory way. Meaning it's mashma that really he was supposed to do Yibum. He chose not to do Yibum. And because he chose not to do Yibum, so the next thing that we say is, okay, you didn't do Yibum, you should do chalutz. In fact, the Ramban's Lashon in Parashas Vayeshev is, quote, Vihine nechshav lachzorius gedoyla ba'och kashalo yachbeitz liyabim. The Rambam, when he talks about understanding the side of a yibum is, he says if there's a brother that doesn't want to do yibum, nechshav lachzorius gedoyla. It's an incredible achzorius, says the Rambam. The person that doesn't want to do yibum. But the point is that chalitza is the next thing that's meant to be done. Now we're going to get into all the sugyas of chalitza, but one thing is interesting, and that is it's mavur that once a woman is a chalutza, we look at her a little bit like a grusha. So for example, a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha, midairaisa. A kohen midrabanan is not allowed to marry a chalutza. And the reason is because we look at a chalutza a little bit as if she would be a grusha. What shaykhis? What does a chalutza have to do with a grusha? The teretz is zika. The teretz is because chalitza isn't just the next best mitzvah to do in the event that the Yavam decides he doesn't want to do Yibam. You have a mitzvah to do Yibam. You decide you don't want to do Yibam Beseder. So instead do Chalitza. It's much more than that. You have to do something. Right now there's a Zika, there's a bond, there's some sort of issues between the Yavam and the Yavam. So either they go and they consummate it, and the way they consummate it is Yavam or Yavam Yoleh. That's going to be the completion that is going to complete the issues, or they sever it. They sever it by doing chalitza. But when we understand the idea of zika, then we appreciate what chalitza is doing. Chalitza is severing an issue. So if it's severing an issue, so on some level, it's a ma'aseh gerushin. If it's a ma'aseh gerushin, okay, it's not midiraisa, it's only midrabanan. But kol d'tikun rabanan kein d'iraisa tikun, and just like midiraisa, kohen's not a mary grush. We can easily understand why it would be that a kohen would not be able to marry a chalutza either. So again, we have the psukim. We went through a little bit of the soy gadol misoy de satira betayledes adam, that yivamis ties into gilgulim somehow. What exactly the mitzvah of yibum is? Yivama yava yale. That's what it is. Is the mitzvah the biyas, the mitzvah the ishus? But at the end of the day, you're going to create an ishus, and there's one way to create the ishus is through a biya. Talked a little bit about maimer. We discussed the concept of zika and how that brings to life, number one, the loisa say of loisiya ishus ames achutzel lizar, and also the concept of what exactly chalitza is. But we can't start the first Mishnah without understanding one more point very, very clearly, because this, more than anything else, is going to underpin all the sugyas we're going to learn. And that is that really, Yibum is a tremendous chiddush. And the reason it's a tremendous chiddush is because were it not for the mitzvah of Yibum, it would be Aser, Midai Raisa, Bechaide Krisos, Shigegasai Chatas, for a person to marry his brother's wife. So we know that there's a parasha of Arayis. It's mentioned in the Torah twice, and parashas Akrimais and parashas Kedoshim, where a man is not allowed to marry a relative. Now, what exactly is the definition of a relative? So the Torah gives a whole bunch of different examples of what relatives are. Some relatives are considered Arayis, some relatives are not considered Arayis. Definitely one of the sub-themes of Masechtas Yevamos. But the point is that ordinarily, a person is not allowed to marry an Erva. An Eishes Ach is an Erva. Meaning, if there's two brothers, and one of them is married, so the halacha is that this brother is not allowed to marry his brother's wife. Now, just to be clear, when she's married to his brother, obviously you can't marry her. She's an Eishes Ish. A person can't marry anybody that's married. The chiddush is that even if his brother dies, or if his brother divorces his wife, once she's an Eishes Ach, she's always going to be an Eishes Ach. She's going to be an Eishes Ach forever, and this brother will not be allowed to marry her. If he marries her, the Kedushin won't be Chal. If they have a child together, the child will be a Mamzer. It has all the Hidurim, Rachmana Litzlan, of a bad marriage. A man is not allowed to marry an Eishes Ach. Stating that when it comes to Yibum, not only is it not usur for the brother to marry her, now all of a sudden there's going to be a mitzvah's eser deraisa. But here's the point. The point is that every time we analyze a Yibum situation, we need to make sure there really is a mitzvah's Yibum. Because if there's no mitzvah's Yibum, that means there's no heter for this man to marry this woman. You say she's an amana. Yeah, but she's an Eishes Ach, she's an Erva. He's not allowed to marry an Erva. So we need to really be certain. We have to be 100% positive that there's a mitzvah Yibum. Because the rega, there's no mitzvah Yibum. Now we go literally from sea to shining sea. It goes min ha-kotza la-kotza. Either it's a mitzvah Eser Deiraisa, that's from the Soides HaGdoilim, b'toiled Es HaAdam, or faker, it's the worst thing in the world a person could do. It's a chayve krisus. Ariri and all the things that it says in the Torah about all these different arayas that are very, very chomer. So really, when we talk about arayas and when we talk about Yibum, being that we're setting up the case with an erva, that's really what every single Yevama is. So in the event there's a mitzvah Yibum, so beseder, there's a mitzvah Yibum. But in the event that there's no mitzvah Yibum, then to the contrary, then we're going to be left with an Iser Eishes Ach. So Yevamos is, every single case is very, very delicate, because really we have to make sure that there's going to be a Heter Eishes Ach, because if there's no Heter Eishes Ach, then to the contrary, what we're going to end up with is, we're going to end up with an Iser Eishes Ach. It's just interesting to note that Bizman Azeh Yevamos is still Negei, right? Of course, Yibum is still Negei Bizman Azeh. Stating that, the Masechtas Yevamos that we're going to learn is very much not Nogei B'zman Hazeh. And it's for two reasons. The first reason is the Gemara Masechtas Yevamos, Taflam Etes Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Mitzvah Yibum Koydemes L'Mitzvah Chalitza. That the Mitzvah of Yibum is Koydemes L'Mitzvah Chalitza. Meaning, every Yavam, he has a choice. He can do Yibum or Chalitza. L'Chadchila, he's supposed to do Yibum. But Rishoyin is up to Mishnah, Shehoyim is Chavim L'Shem Mitzvah. But that was really in the olden times, where people had proper Kavanas when they did a Mitzvah. But Achshav, Shehoyim is Chavim L'Shem Mitzvah. But now that people don't have proper Kavanas when they do a Mitzvah, Amru, then Chazal said, Mitzvah Chalitza, Koydemes L'Mitzvah Yibum. Now it's better not to do Yibum, it's better to do Chalitza. Meaning, once upon a time, where people had right Machshavas, they had the right Kavanas when they did Yibum, so then we said, do Yibum. But now that people don't have the right Kavanas, now the Katchila, we encourage people to do Chalitza. What is Yibum have to do with the right kavanas? So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara brings a braisa. Abishol loimer. Abishol said, "Hakoina says yivimtoi. If someone is going to be ba'an a yavama l'shem noi, l'shem ishus, u'l'shum davar achar, not l'shum mitzvah, he's going to do it for some ulterior reason. Ki ilu pegeya be'erva. It's as if he was ba'an an erva. V'korav ani be'enai liyos havlad mamzer. And it's even korav to me. I can't say it for sure." But these are Abishol's famous words in Yevamos. It's karav ani be'ein aliyas avlad mamzer. That it's karav to me to say that if a child would be born, the child would be mamzer. And everybody muches to explain, and yes, Hashem, when we get there, we'll talk a lot about Abishol. There's a lot of geshmak arayed there. But the point is, Abishol was megalot to us that if somebody would do Yibum and he wouldn't have the right kavana, it could be it's a problem. Why? Because like we said, really every Yevam is an Eishes Ach. Every Yevam is an Erva. Narvas, the mitzvah is the reason it's okay. But if there's a pgam in the mitzvah, or there's a chisaron in shleimus of how the mitzvah is being done, that in of itself could be a sea, but that could be a reason for it to somehow mess up the whole beer. And if it messes it up, that's a big problem. Why? Because now we're dealing already with an Isra Eishes Ach. And it's for that reason the Ramah brings in Shulchan Aruch. It's in Hilchas Yibum V'Chalitza. It's in Evin Ezer. As we shift gears from Arachayim to Evin Ezer. It's in Evin Ezer. It's in Simen Kuf Samachay. He says that the minig is in all the Medina is Ashkenaz. Based on a Gemara in Yevamos, Lamed Tes Amud Beis, and nobody does Yibum today. Today, all people do is chalitza. Now, the Ramos says it. Shulchan Aruch didn't say it. The Mechaber didn't say it. And the minig by the Sfaradim has been, and I believe to a degree continues to be, that if the Yavam and the Yavama want to do Yibum, they can do Yibum. So in the Ashkenazi world, Yibum is something that hasn't been done already for centuries. In the Sephardi world, it is something that's been done, and there's some contemporary truths that Be'ezus Hashem we're going to get to. But the bottom line is, the first reason that Unzer Yavamas that we're about to learn is not Negeya, even Le'aleinu, if it's ever, there ever is such a situation, is because the Iker of Mesechtes Yavamas deals with Yibum. And today we don't do Yibum. But there's another reason that the Yavamas we're about to learn is not so Negeya. And this is even more intuitive. And that is because all the complicated and all the intricate cases that we're going to learn about today, and a lot more to come, deals with marriages that involved more than one wife. And since Rabbeinu Gershon Ma'ir HaGoyla made a takana that a man is not allowed to marry more than one wife, really most of Yavamas became not Negeya Halacha L'maisa anymore. Because there's no Tzaris, and there's no Tzaris, and there's no Tzaris Erevis, and it's no Tzaris Island, there's no Tzaris Sait, there's no Tzaris Machzeg Rushasai. So Rabbeinu Gershon, with his grace of takana of Cheirim de Rabbeinu Gershon, altered the landscape of Jewish history. One of the ways is that so much of the cases that we learn about in Masechtes Yavamas are posh and not Negeya. But either way, so Yavamas is Le'aleinu Negeya. But today, if there's ever a situation, Ruba the times, it's going to end up being Chalitza. But all the intricacies of everything that we're going to learn is not Negeya. Ironically, for different reasons. Not because there's no Beis HaMikdash, not because it's Pashit, because of the Takon of Rabbeinu Gershon, and because of Abishol's Memra, who said that I believe if somebody would do Yibum, and he wouldn't do it with the proper Kavanas, the Karev, the Einai, Liois Havlad Mamza. Either way, this is the Hakdama, the very, very, very short Hakdama, the first of the very, very short Hakdamas, the Masechtes Yavamas. But we can't start the Mishnah yet. We first have to introduce the Mishnah. Much, much shorter Hakdama. So the first Mishnah of Masechtes Yavamas, and the whole first daf, by the way, is a Mishnah. So it's a short daf, long hakdam. So the first Mishnah of Masechtes Yavamas is going to deal with the halacha of an erva that falls li'ibum, of a tsaras erva that falls li'ibum, and of a tsaras erva that falls li'ibum. So we're diving in. That's the first Mishnah. So not every time that a Yavama falls li'ibum, is there a mitzvah to do Yibum? Meaning, as we're going to see, there are many, many exceptions to the rule. The pasuk seems to be very straightforward. Ki yeshvu achim yachtov, umeis achad mehem, uvein einloi, lesi yeshvu zameis achutza lishzor, yuvama yavu yalel, lukocha loy lisha, viyibma. Sounds like, I don't know, two brothers, one of them died, left over no children, that's what Yibum is. This is a mitzvah to do Yibum. But as we're going to learn throughout the Masechta, it's not so pashit. And there are many situations, many scenarios, many marriages, many different things that would cause us to say that there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. The primary, the Aviyah voice, the Rosh Shebechabura, as it relates to examples of when you have kiyesh v'achim yachtav u'meis achad mehem uvein einloi, yet you do not have a mitzvah of Yavama Yavah Yaleva Yibma, is when the brother's wife, meaning the brother that died's wife, the Yavama, is an erva to the Yavah. So if there's an erva relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama, in that case, there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. Not only is there not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum, but as we're going to see, there's also not going to be a mitzvah of Chalitza. Which, by the way, at first glance, makes a lot of sense. Just from being Mava Sedra, the parasha of Yibum, just from reading the six psukim, it seems pretty clear that what is Chalitza? The man didn't want to do Yibum. Oh, you don't want to do Yibum? Do Chalitza. Kocha yeyosaloyish, right? Now you're supposed to go ahead, and now you're supposed to do Chalitza. Well, if he didn't have a mitzvah to do Yibum, if he couldn't do Yibum, why should there be Chalitza? And the truth is, Chazal say, kol she'oilu li'yibum, oilu l'chalitza, v'chol she'ena oilu li'yibum, ena oilu l'chalitza. Which again, seems very intuitive. Yet, we're going to see at the end of today's daf, already the first case, where there's an idea of chaylatzes v'loimus yabemus. Where there's no yibum, but there is a mitzvah to do chalitza. But the bottom line is, an erva that falls li'yibum, there's no yibum, and there's also no chalitza. Now, just to clarify what this means, you're going to say, what do you mean? An erva that falls li'yibum, there's no yibum? Didn't we just say that every single yuvam is dachan erva? Every Yavama that falls Yibum is an Erva. Every Yavama is an Eshesach. So if every Yavama is an Eshesach, and yet there's a mitzvah of Yibum, so what do you mean she's an Erva? Of course she's an Erva. Every Yavama is an Erva. Oh, so there's an additional Erva? Why does that matter? The Teretz is, the Erva of Eshesach, the Torah was matter. Because that's something that's implied in every single Yevamos. Every single Yibum setup is this brother. As one of the brothers dies, leaves over an Amana, no children. By definition, she's an Eishes Ach to the Yavam, and it says in the Torah, Yavam Yavam Yaleh. So the erva of Eishes Ach is something that the Torah was matter. But if there's any additional erva, whatever it is, for example, the brother that died was married to the brother that's alive's daughter. So it comes out that she's an erva to him. So any situation where there might be an erva, the halacha is, there's not going to be a mitzvah of Yibum. There's also not going to be a mitzvah of Chalitza. That's the halacha of an erva that falls to Yibum. What's a tzaras erva? What happens if the brother that dies left over not one wife, left over two wives? Both wives did not have any children. But he left over two wives. One was an erva to the brother that's alive, and the other wife was not an erva. The halacha is that being that the Yavam doesn't have a mitzvah to do Yibum with the erva, so too he doesn't have a mitzvah to do Yibum with the tzaras erva. Just like there's a halacha that there's no Yibum, there's no chalitza with an erva, so too there's a halacha that there's no Yibum, there's no chalitza with a tzaras erva. What's the halacha of a tzaras tzara? So for a tzaras tzara, we already have to come on to a third brother. So let's give these brothers names. Reuven died. He left over a almana and left over no children. He actually left over two almanas. One of them was Shimon's relative, Shimon's erva, and the other one was not an erva to Shimon. So the halacha is, ordinarily there would be yibum. However, in this case, there's not going to be yibum. Why is there going to be no yibum in this case? There's no yibum and there's no chalitza with an erva. The other wife is going to be a tzaras erva. So there's no yibum, there's no chalitza with the erva. There's no yibum, there's no chalitza with the tzaras erva. As a result, there's no mitzvah yibum, there's no mitzvah chalitza. What happens if when Reuven died, he left over two brothers? Not just Shimon, but he left over Levi as well. Now, the wives of Reuven were not an erva or a tzaras erva to Levi. Reuven was married to Shimon's erva, but Reuven was not married to Levi's erva. So when Reuven died, Shimon couldn't do Yibum, Shimon couldn't do Chalitza, not with the erva, not with the tzaras erva, but Levi was able to. Levi had no problem going and doing Yibum Chalitza, so Levi went ahead and Levi did Yibum. And Levi did Yibum with the tzaras erva. He didn't do it with the woman that was the erva, he did the Yibum with the tzaras erva. Okay, so Levi's happily married now to the tzaras erva. Just so happens Levi has another wife. Levi hasn't had any children yet, and then Levi dies. So that Levi's two wives, the original tzaras erva, jumping in, and his other wife, both fall yibum to Shimon. The tzaras erva is falling yibum to Shimon simtzveitimo. She felt yibum the first time when Reuven died, and now she's falling to yibum a second time when Levi died. There's another tzara as well. So what's the halacha? Does Shimon do yibum? Does Shimon not do yibum? Shimon can't do yibum with the original tzaras erva because she was already the tzaras erva the first time she fell a yibum. She remains a tzaras erva the second time as well. Why that's the case? The short answer is Nesra. The long answer is we're going to get to it. But the bottom line is, so Shimon can't do Yibum with the original tzaras erva. Okay, he also can't do Yibum with the other woman. Why? Because she's the tzara of the tzaras erva. So we know what an erva is. We know what the tzaras erva is. And now we know what the tzaras tzara is. Now, just to clarify one thing. Again, our Mishnah, it's just the Mishnah. That's the hold up. But the Mishnah is going to talk about a situation where there were two brothers. One of them is married to the other brother's erva. And then he dies. So the halach is that even though he died without children, and ordinarily there would be a mitzvah yibum, there's no yibum on an erva. Not only is there no yibum on an erva, there's also no yibum on a tzaras erva. And if you add layers to the case, there'd be no yibum with the tzaras tzara, etc., etc., etc. But just to clarify, how's it possible that Reuven was married to Shimon's erva? If Reuven and Shimon are brothers, does that not by definition mean that if someone is an erva to Shimon, that means it would be an erva to Reuven as well? And in which case, Reuven should have had no ability to be able to marry this woman? Again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. That's the case. Reuven's married to a woman that's Shimon's relative. That's Shimon's erva. So how is it possible that Reuven's married to Shimon's erva? So it's a tzaras, right? For two reasons. Number one, I don't know, maybe Reuven was married to Shimon's wife's sister. Shimon's wife's sister is an erva to Shimon. It's a chos ishtoi. But she's not an erva to Reuven. So there are many, many hypothetical cases of arayas where a woman could be an erva to one brother and not be an erva to another brother, right? It's pasha. Doesn't need to be stated, but just for the sake of clarity, I think it's worth to say. But there's another case, and this does need to be said, and that is that when we talk about brothers in the context of Yibum, brothers mean two men that share the same father. Yevamos doesn't care if they have the same mother or not. It's irrelevant. The only thing Yevamos cares about is if they have the same father. So if they're Achim and Ha'av, they're considered Achim. If they're not Achim and Ha'aim, or if they're only Achim and Ha'aim, they're not going to be considered brothers. So it's very, very possible to have two brothers that share the same father, but they don't share the same mother. So it's theoretically possible that Reuven would be married to Shimon's sister. What do you mean? If Reuven's married to Shimon's sister, and Reuven and Shimon are brothers, then by definition, doesn't that mean Reuven's married to his own sister? No, because Reuven's married to Shimon's maternal sister. Yet Reuven and Shimon, they're only paternal brothers. Either way, with that introduction, we begin the first Mishnah, Masechtas Yevamos. So, Teilug Mishnah, Chamesh Esrei Nashim. There are 15 women, 15 examples of arayas that poitrois tzorei seyem. There are 15 examples of arayas where if this erva fell a yibum, there'd be no mitzvah yibum, there'd be no mitzvah chalitza. Not only would there be no yibum, no chalitza with the erva, but there'd also be no yibum and no chalitza with the tzaras erva. And not only would there be no yibum and no chalitza with the tzaras erva, but like we spoke at in the introduction, there would also be no yibum and no chalitza with the tzara of the tzaras erva. The following are the list of the 15 arayas for which this aforementioned statement is true. Pita. So again, two brothers, Reuven, Shimon. Reuven dies. He's the achames. Shimon is the yavam. Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter. When Reuven dies, so the Yavama falls the Yibam. But who's the Yavama? It's Shimon's own daughter. Shimon's not allowed to marry his daughter. She's an Erva. That's what the Mishnah means. An Erva, there's no Yibam. Now is there no Yibam, there's no Chalitza. Now is there no Chalitza. But even the other wife that's in the picture, even she's going to be excluded from Yibam the Chalitza. And if that other wife ever married another brother and there was another Tzara, the Tzara would also be excluded. Ubaspiti. Another example would be if Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter's daughter, Ubaspinoi, or Reuven was married to Shimon's son's daughter, Bas Ishtoi. Reuven was married to Shimon's wife's daughter, Ubaspina. Reuven was married to Shimon's son's daughter, Ubaspita. Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter's daughter, Chamoisai. Reuven was married to Shimon's mother-in-law. Reuven was married to Shimon's mother-in-law's mother, or Reuven was married to Shimon's father-in-law's mother. Reuven was married to Shimon's sister, but his maternal sister. So Reuven and Shimon are paternal brothers, but Reuven is married to Shimon's maternal sister. He couldn't marry Shimon's paternal sister, because that would be his sister. But he could marry Shimon's maternal sister, because she's not even related to him. The Achos Imoy. Or Reuven was married to Shimon's mother's sister. They had the same father, but they didn't have the same mother. And Reuven married his brother's mother's sister, which is something he's allowed to do. It's not a problem. It's not an error. The Achos Ishtoy. Or Reuven was married to Shimon's wife's sister. The Ishas Achav Meimoy. Or Reuven was married to Shimon's brother from his mother's wife, Eishes Achiv Meima. I mean, the Achiz Meima, it's that wife, the Eishes Achiv Shaloi Haya Boy Lamai. And that's a whole nother sugya for a whole nother day. But what would be in the event that there were two brothers and the two brothers never knew each other? It says in the Torah, Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachtov, that the only time there's a mitzvah of Yibum is when there's two brothers, and the two brothers are Yachtov. They're living together. So Ki Yeshvu Achim Yachtov, that's when you have a mitzvah of Yibum if one of them dies and leaves over no children. But in the event that the two brothers never knew each other, meaning the Yavam was born after his brother died, then there's no mitzvah of Yibum. As a result, that's an example of an erva that doesn't fall the Yibum. The Kalasai, or if Reuven was married to Shimon's daughter-in-law. All these cases are feasible. Meaning, we just listed not 15 arayas. What these 15 arayas have in common is where it's theoretically possible to have two brothers. One brother's married to this woman, and if he dies, and the almana now falls the Yibum, the almana is going to be an erva to the brothers that's alive. It's possible, theoretically, in all 15 of these cases. What's the halacha? Hari elu, poitroi, sarei seyem, vitzarei, sarei seyem, and achalitza, and ayivim, atzoi, fa'ilu. There's no Yibum v'chalitza, not by any one of these 15 arayas, not by their tzara, not by the tzara's tzara. And this goes atzoif kaloyla. What does atzoif kaloyla mean? It means tzara's tzara, tzara's tzara, tzara's tzara, tzara's tzara, tzara's tzara, right, etc., etc. It doesn't matter how many brothers you bring into the equation. If they die and they leave over no children, and someone was a tzara to someone that was once a tzara of a tzara of a tzara, you can have the same exact halacha. They're going to be pater mina chalitza mina yibum. Zok the mission. What would be v'kulon imesu? So what would be if Reuven again, same case, Reuven and Shimon are brothers. Reuven was married, he had two wives. The first wife, in no particular order, but one of the wives was an Erva to Shimon. The other wife was not an Erva to Shimon. So if Reuven would die, leave over no children, the halacha is there would be no Yibum. Even though ordinarily Yivama Yava Yoleh, but in this case there would be no Yibum. And the reason there's no Yibum is because an Erva doesn't fully Yibum and a Tzaris Erva doesn't fully Yibum. What happens if the Erva dies before Reuven dies? So Reuven is married to two wives. One of them is an Erva. The Erva died. And then after the Erva died, Reuven died. Oiv mi anu. Or what would happen if Reuven was married again to one of Shimon's relatives, to an Erva, and to another wife? And before Reuven died, the Erva did miyun. So what's miyun? Miyun is when a girl is married midrabanan. The halacha is, if at any point she decides that she's not interested in being married anymore, she doesn't need a get. The halacha is, she's allowed to just leave. She can refuse. That's what miyun means. And she could say, I'm not interested in being married anymore. Now, how could a woman be married midrabanan? So the classic case would be, if there's a ketana, a girl that's very, very young. In the olden days, a ketana was considered to be vulnerable. So if she has a father, the father's going to protect her. But in the event that she's yisoyma, so she doesn't have a father to protect her, so Chazal made a takana and said that her relatives are allowed to marry her off. Like this, she'll have a husband. Like this, she's going to have someone to protect her. But the halach is that if at any point she decides she doesn't want the marriage, she's allowed to walk away from it. Aye, doesn't she need a get? No, because the whole marriage is only midrabana. And because it's midrabana, so she's allowed to leave. So again, what would happen if the erva, that's one of Reuven's two wives, dies? Or miyanu did miyun, or miskarshu, or he divorced her, or shinim tzailinis, or the halacha is that at some point during the marriage he found out that she's an islandess. An islandess is a woman that can't have children. There's a more technical definition to what an islandess is. But the halachic significance in our mission is that if someone's married to a woman and finds out that she's an islandess, if he wants, he's allowed to claim mekach tois and he's allowed to walk away from the marriage. So in all four of these cases, one thing happened. What happened was is that the man is no longer married to the Erva. So before Reuven died, his marriage to the Erva was terminated, either because she died, or because she did miyun, or because she got divorced, or because she was nimtza islandess. And then he dies. What's the halacha? Tzareisei mutarais. At that point, the halacha is, there's not going to be a din tzaras erva. Why? Because tzaras erva, here's the punchline of the Mishnah, is only if she was a tzaras erva at the time that Reuven died. If when Reuven died and left over no children, he left over two wives, an Erva and a Tzaras Erva, just like there's no Yibam v'chalitza on the Erva, there's also no Yibam v'chalitza on the Tzaras Erva. But if Reuven was married to an Erva before he died, but the marriage was terminated by the time he died, so at the time that he died, there was no Erva anymore. So being that there was no Erva anymore at the time that he died, so at that point, there's only the Tzara. The tzara is not deemed to be a tzara's erva, and it's for that reason, tzara'isei mutaris, there's going to be no iser to go ahead and do. Now, this case is theoretically possible, meaning, kulam imesu oi miyanu oi niskarshu oi shenimtzu ailes, by all 15 of the arayas that were mentioned in the Mishnah. Stating that, the Mishnah says it's actually not true. There are a few that it doesn't work. Regarding three of the 15 that we mentioned, if Reuven's married to Shimon's mother-in-law, or if Reuven's married to Shimon's mother-in-law's mother, or Shimon's father-in-law's mother. Those three cases, it's not possible that at some point during that marriage, she was nimtza islandess. He found out that she couldn't have any children, because at this point, she already has doiris. And it's not possible that she would do miyun, because only a ketana could do miyun, and it can't be that she's the shvigah's mother and she's a ketana. It just doesn't. It's not possible. So it's for that reason, Zok the Mishnah, that even though we're mentioning 15 arayas, these 15 arayas were narrowly a poitra, sarayseim, vitzorah, sarayseim, minachalis, minayim, minatsoifa oilam. In the event that any one of the arayas were mesu mian, uniskashin, imtsu island, is sarayseim, mutaris, but we just have to qualify, we'll push it, we're literally crossing our T's and dotting our I's in the Mishnah. Just to be 100% clear, Zok the Mishnah, three of the 15 cases that we said, don't work for two of these four exclusions. For the case of Mianu and from the case of Nimtzu Islands, it doesn't play out with Chamoisai, Eim Chamoisai, and Eim Chamo. Either way, that's the halacha of the Mishnah. So halacha of the Mishnah is pretty straightforward. The Mishnah says that this Chamech HaSarei Nashim, that Apoitra HaSarei Seim, V'tzara HaSarei Seim, and HaChalitzim, and Ayibim, and HaTzoif, HaOilam. In other words, the halacha of Erva being Potim, and Ayibim, and HaChalitza, Tzara's Erva being Potim, and Ayibim, and HaChalitza, and Tzara's Tzara being Potim, and Ayibim, and HaChalitza. And then the Mishnah said that that's only going to be an issue. Meaning the only time the Erva is going to effectuate, it's going to impact the Tzara, is if they were Erva and Tzara's Erva at the time that Reuven died. But if they weren't Erva and Tzara's Erva at the time they died, but rather prior to Reuven's death, the marriage had been terminated. How so? Either through death, or through Mion, or through Gerishin, or Shenimtzu Islandis, then these halachas won't be true, because then the Tzara will not have a din of a Tzara's Erev. So the first part of the Mishnah mentions the halacha. The second part of the Mishnah is just going to speak out, Ketzah, just some cases of how this halacha plays out. Nothing that we haven't said already. Ketzah, Poitra, Tzara, say, what's an example of Erva patering the Tzara's Erva? What would be if Shimon's daughter or one of the other Arayas were married to Reuven? And Reuven had another wife. Umeis, and then Reuven died. Just like the daughter is pater, there's no Yibum and there's no Chalitza on an Erva. So too, there's going to be no Yibum, there's going to be no Chalitza on the Tzara either. What happens if when Reuven died, he left over not one brother, two brothers. He left over a brother Shimon and he left over a brother Levi. Now, Shimon couldn't do Yibum. Why? Because one of Reuven's wives was an Erva and the other one was a Tzara's Erva. As a result, there was no ability to do Yibum. However, Levi was able to do Yibum because although Reuven's wife was an Erva to Shimon, but Reuven's wife was not an Erva to Levi. So if Reuven's wife was not an Erva to Levi, Reuven's other's wife was not a Tzara's Erva to Levi, so Levi was able to do whatever he wants. So what happens after Mishnah, if after Reuven died, if the Tzara went and married the Achasheni, married Levi, and Levi had another wife, Umeis, and then Levi died. So when Levi died, Levi's two wives fell to Shimon. Who are Levi's two wives? The original Tzara's Erva of Reuven, and now Levi's second wife. Zokta Mishnah, Kishem She Tzara's Bitoi Petura, just like there's going to be no Yibam V'chalitza on the original Tzara's Erva, Kach Tzara's Tzara'sa Petura, so too, Levi's other wife, the Tzara's Tzara is going to be the same way, and Afilu Ein Meya, this case could repeat itself 100 times, the halacha is always going to be the same. Once someone is either an Erva, or a Tzara's Erva, or the Tzara of a Tzara's Erva, or the Tzara of the Tzara of a Tzara's Erva, its Tzara is always going to be Pater min Ayibim v'chalitza. So that's the Ketzah for the first part of the Mishnah. What's the Ketzah for the second part of the Mishnah? Ketzah, what's the case of Emesu Tzara Seyem Mutaris? Right, the Mishnah said that in the event that the Erva died, before Reuven died, then the Tzara is going to be Mutar. What's that case? What would be if Shimon's daughter or one of the other Arayas were married to Reuven and Reuven had another wife? Then the halacha is Mesa Bita Oineskarsha. If Shimon's daughter died or Shimon's daughter was divorced from Reuven, the Achakach Mes Achiv, and then afterwards Reuven died, Tzarasa Muteres. In that case, the halacha is going to be that the tzara is going to be mutter, because like we said, the only time a woman's considered a tzara's erva is if she was a tzara's erva at the time that Reuven died. But if she wasn't a tzara's erva at the time that Reuven died, in that instance, she's not going to be considered a tzara's erva. And then the Mishnah concludes with one last halacha. V'chola yecholei l'ma'in, v'loi mi'ana. Anytime a person is married to a woman midrabanan, and specifically in our case, if Reuven was married to Shimon's Erva, but he was married to Shimon's Erva midrabanan, the Erva was a Ktana, and it was a marriage that was effectuated by one of her relatives, where if she decides at some point she's not interested in the marriage, that's something that she has a right to do. So she's married midrabanan, but she's only married midrabanan. So what would be then if Reuven dies? And now Reuven's two wives fall to Yibum, the Erva and the quote-unquote Tzara's Erva. But in this case, the Erva is not an Erva midiraisa. The Erva is only an Erva midrabanan. And the reason the Erva is only an Erva midrabanan is because the whole marriage between Reuven and this woman is only a marriage midrabanan. Right? Again, it's the same exact case, this last line. It's a case where Reuven is married to one of Shimon's Arayas. However, he's not married to a Midiraisa. He's only married to a Midirabana. So now when Reuven dies, so Reuven leaves over two Yavamas. One is an Erva, albeit Midirabana, and the other one is a Tsaras Erva Midirabana, but a regular Yavama Midiraisa. So over here, to just simply dismiss this whole case and say, oh, she's a Tzara Serva, no Yibam, no Chalitza, Chas V'Shalom. Because Midai Raisa, she's not a Tzara Serva. Midai Rabbanon, she's a Tzara Serva. Midai Raisa, she's not a Tzara Serva. So what would we do? Right? How would a Dayan pass in such a Shaila? To say she's a Tzara Serva, the Tzara, you can't say that. Because Midai Rabbanon, she's not a Tzara Serva. Go ahead. I mean, Midai Raisa, she's not a Tzara Serva. To say do Yibam, you can't do either. Why not? Because Midai Rabbanon, she is a Tzara Serva. So what do you do when you have a Yibum situation, but you can't do Yibum? So this is the first of many times that we're going to see this. That's always the way out. Meaning just do Chalitz and don't do Yibum. Don't do Yibum because you're violating the Issa Tzara's Erva Midrabana. Because Midrabana, she's a Tzara's Erva. You can't do nothing because Midai Raisa, she's stuck. She'll be in Aguna. This Yavama needs something to unlock her Zika in order for her to be able to get married. So you're going to definitely have to do something. So to do nothing is not an option. To do Yibum is not an option. So what do you do whenever you have a situation like this? You always do Chalitza, that's Talacha. So in summary, what was the first Mishnah? What's the first daf of Masechtas Yavamas? It's the Halacha of Erva and Tzaras Erva. That's the Halacha. Ordinarily, if there's two brothers, one of them dies and leaves over no children. So the Halacha is Yavama Yavah Yaleu L'Kocha Leil Isha V'Yim. There's a mitzvah to do Yibum. And if you don't want to do Yibum, so the option B is you always go ahead and do Chalitza. But there are times where Kiyech V'Achim Yachdav U'meis Achad Mehem U'bein Einloi, and there will not be a mitzvah of Yibum, and there will not be a mitzvah of Chalitza. What's an example? The primary example is an Erva. In the event that Reuven was married to one of Shimon's relatives, and even though Reuven and Shimon are brothers, like we spoke out, unnecessarily, it's still possible for Reuven to be married to one of Shimon's relatives. So the bottom line is, in the event that Reuven is married to one of Shimon's relatives, and then he dies, so that relative, being that she's an Erva, assuming she's an Erva, Shimon's not let her marry. And even though there's a mitzvah Yibum, it doesn't matter. Yibum's not doicha the Isser Erva. Yibum's not doicha the Isser Erva. So the halacha is that he would not be able to go ahead and marry her. There's no Yibum. Now is there no Yibum, there's no Chalitza. Not only is there no Yibum and no Chalitza, but even if Reuven had another wife, that other wife is a regular Shesach. That is not an Erva. It doesn't matter. There's a Gzeres HaKosav. We'll learn the Makar to it tomorrow, of Tzara's Erva, and the halacha is that a Tzara's Erva is also not okay. You're not allowed to marry a Tzara's Erva. Even if that Tzara's Erva would then marry another one of the brothers, and then she would follow Yibam, her Tzara would also be a Tzara. Not a Tzara's Erva, but a Tzara's Erva. It's the same kind. Sounds a little trickier, but it's the same exact concept. That is the halacha of the first mission. But just to end the first daf with one Dvar Machshava, and that is that we know the Zohar HaKadosh says, it's in Parshas Kiseitse, it says that Mashiach is going to reveal himself as an Ani that's Roichav Al-Hamar. He's going to reveal himself as an Ani, as an Araman that's Roichav Al-Hamar, that's riding on a donkey. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Ani is Rashi Tevis, Erevin, Nida, and Yavamis. And the Sfarim say that what the Zohar HaKadosh is saying is that when a person learns Erevin, and when a person learns Nida, and when a person learns Yavamis, it's befrak, it's bimyuchad mesugal for Mashiach to come. Ani v'roichav alachamar. Ani, erev v'nida yavamis is going to bring the ani. It's going to bring Mashiach zetenu. That's what's going to cause the geula to come. And the Velt says that why these three mesachtes? What is it about erevin? What is it about nida? What is it about yavamis? So it's margula b'pume de'inshi that these are the three hardest mesachtes in Shas. That the three hardest mesachtes are erevin, nida, and yavamis. Definitely all three in the conversation. That goes without doubt. But the point is that because they're so hard and it causes us to harava more and to think more and to really invest more and to apply ourselves more. So for that reason, in the schus of the limit atayr and the amelus batayr, that's what's going to bring Mashiach. But I just had one hergish preparing the daf, and that is that we mentioned a long time ago in the introduction to today's daf, that the Ramban says in his Pirush al HaTorah and Parshas Vayeshev that there are two places in Torah Shabiksav that we find that there was a Yibum. We find Yibum by Yehuda and Tamar, and we find Yibum by Bus and Roy, by Boyaz and Rus. And I was thinking, what do Yehuda and Tamar and Boyaz and Rus have in common? Mashiach. Mashiach came from Yehuda and Tamar. Mashiach came from Boyaz and Rus. And the truth is, if you think about it for a second, it's a pella. Mashiach is going to come from Yehuda and Tamar. from such a union, Mashiach's going to come from Bayaz and Rosh Yedua, that the Svarim say, that the Gemara says, a parak chelik in bein David ba el mitay chesach adas, that Mashiach's going to come mitay chesach adas. Pasha, what it means is that when we're least expecting Mashiach to arrive, all of a sudden, pisayim yavai, that's when Mashiach's going to arrive, and that's when he's going to come. When we least expect it, that's when it's going to happen. But the Svarim HaKadoshim say, that in bein David ba el mitay chesach adas, that being that Mashiach is so critical, it's so important for Klal Yisrael, so the Samach Men, and the Mekatrigim, they're working overtime, they're trying to do whatever they can possibly do to make sure that Mashiach is not going to come. So Pasha Kedei La'arvav Es HaSatan, simply to go ahead and to confuse the Satan, the Eibishter felt the only way Mashiach can come is from an instance, from a scenario where you would least expect it to come from. And you know what that is? It's through a Zivug from Arayos. Yehuda and Tamar, it was a father-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Even Bayaz and Rus, that was also a situation where they were relatives. Now there was Yibum, and because this Yibum, there's a heter Eishazach, and Koyda Matan Torah, there was a heter on the other Arayos as well. Like the Ramban says, that this is from the grossest Soidis, Soid Godom, Soidis at Torah, B'Toyledis Adam. But at the end of the day, it's the least place you would ever expect it to come from, and it's Dafka that Hesach Adas, that Mashiach comes from. Mashiach comes mitay chesach adas, and that's why he came through Yibum. But the bottom line is that the two Yibums that we have in the Torah brought Mashiach. Mashiach came from Yevamos. That's where he came from. There is a very deep, intricate bond between Yevamos and Mashiach. Mashiach's going to come, says the Zohar, from Ani, from Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos, the Eshverim Masechtas. But when you learn Yevamos, there's also maybe an element of Unashalma Parm Sfaseinu. We're learning Yevamos. Yevamos is going to bring Mashiach. The Gemara says Mashiach is going to come right after a Shemitah year. Right? It says during a Shemitah year there's going to be wars, and then Mashiach's going to come. Maybe we're living taka in a world with a simanim of Mashiach, which taka bizoicha, and the schus of Klal Yisrael, hundreds of thousands of Yidden throughout the world taking it upon themselves, the oil, and willing to dig a little bit deeper to learn Masechtas Yevamos, taka mitaycha melos. That's schus. We should all be zoicha. The Bias Goyal Tzedek, the Mehera B'Yomenu, Amen.